because it was a really dark time for me. And when I have darkness, I need light, truly, literally and figuratively. So that was always the light that I got to look forward to.
Welcome to On the Grow, where the journey is just as important as the destination. The podcast where we embark on the exciting journey of intentional living within the whirlwind of busy family life. Join us, Cyrus and Michelle, as we navigate the chaos with laughter, love, and a shared commitment to fostering growth. So whether you're a seasoned parent or just starting your family journey, join us each week for candid conversations, heartwarming anecdotes, and valuable insights. Let's grow together, laugh together, and build a community that celebrates intentional living.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to On the Grow podcast. I wanted to do a quick little solo cast today and give you guys some more actionable tips and just kind of share some insight, further details about how we travel with kids and some things that have made it a little bit easier for us. I know we chatted the other day about our reasonings why we like to travel, the exposure to different cultures and languages, and it really just gives you a whole new perspective on life. I just absolutely love it. I always have. I was very fortunate growing up. My dad was funny enough. He was in insurance as well. He works for State Farm, and he was able to earn a lot of travel through his work, which means we were able to go on a lot of travel as kids, young kids. I remember going to Germany and Bermuda and Hawaii and, you know, Mexico, the Bahamas, all these amazing, fun places, some places in Europe as a young child. And it just really does change the way you think. And it changes the way you act and behave as a person. I feel like truly it just has been monumental in my life. And so I wanted to expose our children to that as well, especially having two parents who were multicultural as well and very diverse. As you know, Cyrus is from the Middle East. He's from Afghanistan and he speaks three different languages. He speaks Farsi, a little bit of Dari, and then English. There might be another dialect that he actually speaks as well too, whereas I am just very American in that I only speak English. I'm starting my journey to learn Spanish. I do feel like it's a little bit harder as an adult versus had I been exposed to it when I was younger. But my dad is Mexican. His family immigrated from Mexico and then Spain. And we still have a lot of family down south in Texas and Arizona. But when his family came here, it was during a time where there was still a lot of racism and immigrants weren't, you know, welcomed with warm, open arms, I guess, much like today. And therefore his parents wanted him to learn only English. So that was kind of the reasoning why he only learned English, especially being the baby out of like nine kids. So he was just taught English. So therefore, we didn't ever speak Spanish. However, anytime we travel almost anywhere internationally, the first language that people assume that Cyrus and I both speak is Spanish. So that's been part of my reason and motivating factor of wanting to learn it as well. And it's such a beautiful language, but we do travel a lot. And like I said, we shared a lot of our reasoning behind it. And it's funny because people are kind of shocked when I tell them, you know, oh, we're going on a trip. And when I say we're taking the kids, I have a hole in my knee. When I say we're taking the kids, they're always shocked, which I think is just funny because it just seems like second nature. Like, yeah, of course we'd take the kids. Because in my mind, parenting is already hard enough. Parenting is hard when you're in your own environment at home and you're like at your kitchen table. It's still hard when you're trying to put them to bed in your home on the perfect, and I'm using air quotes, on the perfect sleep schedule for them. It is still hard. So even in the perfect like environment surrounded by quiet and their sound machines and their toys and their comfort items, it is still hard. So for me, I'm like, if it is just going to be hard in general, I might as well do it somewhere else that's beautiful and that helps my mental health. Because I never really noticed how much I am affected by my environment until recently. I've always kind of known that I get the seasonal depression stuff in our winters here. They feel so long. Not having the sunlight really affects me. And I learned something the other day. I didn't realize there was like an infographic sheet on like a health website I follow. And they said that based upon your ethnicity and the color of your skin and the natural melanin, I think that's the word. Yeah. Natural melanin, the color in your skin, you actually need more. So because I do have obviously some natural color and Cyrus as well, we actually need more sunlight and more sun exposure than lighter skinned individuals. So that's been interesting for me as well too. I've tried to invest. It really was a big purchase, but it was really, I felt like a mental health necessity when we budgeted for a sauna and a red light therapy because I need to feel the warmth. I need to see some sort of bright light. I even have the artificial sun lamp thing, but seasonal weather and seasonal depression really gets me. So I struggle in my environment when there's lack of sunlight, when there's lack of warmth. So for me, it's really necessary for my mental health to kind of take a lot of breaks, especially in the winter. You'll notice as far as our travel, it's primarily done in the winter because I'm trying to escape our winter. Whereas in our summers here, I love it. I love the sun. I love the heat, but it's really good for me when I travel. And I'm a firm believer in whatever is best for mom and dad's health, and especially mom's, is the best thing for the whole family. So if I'm going to be better, if I'm at the beach or I'm in a warm environment and or I'm even somewhere where there's sunshine, it's going to be better for my family. And it never fails. Like that's always how it works out. If I'm at my best, they're going to be better. And I remember like I had postpartum with all my kids as well too, pretty severely. So with each kid, it was like right about between 8 to 12 weeks. When they were 8 to 12 weeks old, we took a trip to a beach vacation because the beach is my happy place. And because I was so depressed and postpartum, which I try to be pretty transparent about, because I feel like, you know, in our day and age of social media and comparison, there's a lot of, you know, we're only sharing all the beautiful pictures of me holding my newborn, but you're not seeing the struggles and the tears and the nursing struggles and the sleepless nights and the fights and the rifts and the keeping scores between your spouse and postpartum rage and all these other things that aren't talked about enough, but are starting to. And I'm loving the conversations trending in that direction. But anyways, I always struggled in postpartum, so I needed something for my mental health to look forward to. So knowing that I would get to go to a beach when they're just a tad bit older and sleeping a little bit more was like my motivating factor and kind of helped me through, because it was a really dark time for me. And when I have darkness, I need light, truly, literally and figuratively. So that was always the light that I got to look forward to. And honestly, kids end up doing great. It seems like so much. It seems like so much to pack, but they always surprise you. So like, I know it seems daunting, but someone else said that to me the other day. I love these conversations that I'll have with moms. They're like, how do you pack for three kids to go international, or oh my gosh, all these things. I'm like, honestly, it feels the same amount of work as like if I go to out to eat, or we have to go to a family holiday event. I mean, we're still packing, usually change of clothes, diapers, you know, bibs, their own forks or their own, you know, whatever, change of clothes, toys, all these things. It's a lot of work going and doing anything with kids. It's just going to be. So like we talk a lot about mindset in these episodes, it is just that mindset of knowing it's going to be work. There are going to be times of struggle. There may be missed naps. There may be a lack of a schedule. But there's going to be a lot of memories made, and there's going to be a lot of joy and light and lighthearted moments. And that's what keeps me going. And I think having done it now so many times, it's kind of like a well-oiled machine. You know what parts you might get stuck or tripped up on. So you just go into it with that awareness. And I feel like that preparation. So a lot of times I'll prep myself knowing, okay, it's travel day. For me, when we travel with the kids, the travel days are the toughest days of the whole vacation. It's not once you get there, you know, it's the travel days. Cause honestly, you're usually waking up early for flights, the unexpected. Are we going to have to wait on the tarmac for like, oh, cause they saw lightning. Are we going to have a delay? Are we going to have a missed connection? Are we going to, you know, have a meltdown when we're going through security and not be able to, you know, it always feels like a rush going through security. I would say going through security is probably the toughest part of all of travel, just because, you know, it's always such a time of anxiety. It's like all these things. It's like, okay, are the kids going through with you? Okay, they walked through and fold up the stroller, try to cram it in there. Okay, oh shoot, take out their sippy cup. It has water in it. We don't want to get stopped. So kind of knowing when you're going to have those hardest times and keeping that in your mind of like, yeah, we know this is going to be hard, and you do what you can to try to make it easier. And, you know, like anything, you do it enough times with practice, it becomes a little bit easier and a little bit more manageable, or just having that understanding of what to expect makes it a little bit easier. So it's just a mindset thing. I feel like when it comes to travel, doing anything with kids is hard. Some things that I've found that's made it a little bit easier is, of course, just prepping yourself, prepping them, the expectations ahead of time before you, you know, are about to board the flight. You know, and there are a bunch of products that make things easier now. And I'm so thankful for all the new inventions. And a lot of times I ask for like for Christmas or holidays, some of the big things that my kids just got for on a birthday from grandparents was these backpack carry-on scooters. So they're scooters, they're luggage. I can put, you know, their tablets, their coloring books, their Legos, their snacks, their refillable water bottles, all in the suitcase. And then they get to scooter it. It's a scooter, like it drops down and they can ride that throughout the airport. So they're able to keep up with us a little bit more as we walk a faster pace, because my older two, who are 5 and 7, are kind of getting past the age of wanting to ride in a stroller, but yet sometimes get too tired to walk. So it's perfect for their age right now. Another thing is there are so many fantastic companies out there that you can rent a whole bunch of baby gear so you don't have to pack with as much. I know that it's not as cost effective, but you know, again, it's a mindset thing. People always say money will return, but like the memories won't. And so I kind of keep that in mind. I don't know if it's like reckless or to be determined on that one, but a lot of times there are great companies that you can rent a bunch of this stuff ahead of time, like sound machines when the kids were little, even baby gates if you need it, certain baby toys. There's a lot of great companies, especially when you're traveling locally, like across the US. There are a lot of great options. There's even some websites where you can rent from other parents. You can rent their items, whether it's a high chair and things. And if you're in a large city that's kind of a touristy city, it's also a way that you could potentially make a little side income by renting out some of the things that you maybe have extra of, renting out a pack and play, a stroller, things like that. So I love utilizing those sorts of companies. Other helpful things, most airlines will let you, if you're traveling with a child, gate check a stroller or a car seat. Gate check means, you know, ride up until you like board the plane when you're going down the little, what's that thing called? I don't know. But right at the end of the gate, you can leave it there. Otherwise, a lot of times they'll let you, when you're traveling and flying with a child, they'll let you send like a stroller and a car seat. Oh, excuse me. Oh, we have a sick kiddo at home, so a lot of coughing keeps us up all night. But when you're traveling and you're with a child, a lot of times the airlines will let you send a stroller and a car seat with your luggage for free. So that makes it nice if you're going to send one and then you don't want to take it through security. Sometimes we do take strollers through security just to have for one of our kids, especially having three kids. It's nice to have them, you know, it was nice when we could wear them when they're at the age that we can wear them. And now as they transition to some are done with the stroller and one still is in the stroller, sometimes we'll just take a little umbrella stroller that easily folds up and goes through security. Otherwise they can wand If you have a big stroller, they can take it to the side and use the wand. It just takes a little bit more time. Like I said, security is usually the biggest holdup for us. We have traveled. I know people ask us all the time about, have you traveled with formula and things like that? It's actually very easy traveling with babies. I feel like traveling with babies is easier for me than traveling with toddlers. I feel like the hardest age, because like I said, we've usually taken all the kids on some sort of flight from the age of like weeks old up until our oldest is 7.5. But the hardest age for me traveling with kids is like that 18 to like 26 months, like about like the 18 months to like 2.5 is the hardest, because they're toddlers, especially like at the 18 to like 20 months. They don't understand why they have to sit still. It's hard to keep them busy. They're like usually transitioned out of nap, doing contact naps a lot of times. And, but yeah, they won't, or they don't want to even, they can't even be bribed with like a tablet or things like that. It's like, it's just really difficult. So that's been my hardest time versus where I feel like traveling with babies isn't quite as hard. I know I'll see a lot of times in mom's groups questions about traveling with formula and powder. I've even like sent the, like I've traveled with my can of formula. It's been fine. They test it. They do test it. They look at it. I've done like my little formula containers where I just scoop it out. And again, they still test it. But it is nice because when you travel with kids, like I usually take on, like when with babies, I usually take on like 2 or 3 water bottles, and they usually allow me, as long as I say I'm using these, they're unopened. So they're like, you know, secured. They have to be unopened bottles of water. And it's kind of hit or miss. It's kind of different on every TSA department, but we've had a lot of good experience with getting 2 or 3 unopened water bottles along with us when we travel with formula and with babies. And this is kind of like another little secret. A lot of times the TSA agents, if they're younger, they don't really know at what age kids are done with formula. So a lot of times I've forgotten and I've had a bottle of water and Mateo's been like 1.5 or something. I'm like, it's for the baby. And then they allow it. So, you know, you can kind of get away with a little bit more with babies and kids. They're a little bit more flexible. Something else that I learned when, you know, during the time of COVID, we still traveled with the kids, but I was a little bit more cautious about germs. So when we had formula and things, you can kindly ask the TSA agents to change their gloves, because they do put on gloves before they handle any of the formula and bottles and water and things like that. So during that time, I did kindly ask that they would change their gloves before handling some of those things, just as an extra precaution. They're doing their job, but my job as a parent is to also keep my kids safe and healthy. And that was just something that I asked for them to do. That was really helpful. It is nice. A lot of times you're able to wear your child through security when they're babies. I've had some luck. There have been times where, you know, I've had to take them off. That is another, I think, misconception, but you can baby wear, because, you know, they don't need their own seat on a flight until they're 2. And you can baby wear on flights. However, the flight attendants will make you take them out of the carrier for safety on departure, or, you know, when you're first taking off, on takeoff and on landing. So that is just something to know. I know some parents were surprised. I remember hearing, you know, their baby was sleeping and they're like, I'm sorry, you still have to get them out of the carrier on takeoff and landing. So that is something to be aware of. If budget allows, or you have airline miles where you can book extra seats, I found it really helpful to just book an extra seat for even my babies and toddlers before they were 2. So technically they fly free when they're under 2, but a lot of times, just for our sanity, being able to book them a seat and put their car seat on it was a lifesaver, because a lot of times they'd fall asleep so much easier in their car seat than on us. And so it just, you know, it's like, what is it worth to you? What is a crying baby on a 2-hour? How much will you pay to not have your child crying for 2 hours on a plane ride and having that anxiety? So you got to weigh the pros and cons in more than just cost. Because I know initially we like look at costs, and I'm pretty budget savvy and frugal, I guess you would say. And I look at that cost, I'm like, I'm not paying for another seat for their car seat. And after you do a couple flights with like a crying baby or toddler, you're like, yeah, I'm going to pay for it, because they just sleep better. They kind of do better. They're used to traveling in car seats. So they know that this kind of means that I'm going to sit here and be constrained, and they're like calmer. Maybe they feel more safe and it feels familiar, but I feel like that was nice. There have been a couple rare occasions on flights where I've asked, is this a full flight? If there's any extra seats, can I bring my car seat on without having prepaid for a flight? Sometimes they let you do it. Sometimes they don't. It's just kind of hit or miss. But I just kind of wanted to share some helpful things about flying with kids and toddlers, some of the specifics on those kind of things. Airlines generally want you to have their birth certificate. I've traveled with the kids a lot, and I think I've only been asked for some sort of identification for them once, which I don't know, is maybe scary that they haven't asked more, or maybe good luck. But the one time that they did ask, I didn't have anything, but they had me provide some different, I mean, usually this day and age on our phone, we have some sort of file or something that shows their identification. And now that we travel internationally, we have passports for all the kids anyways. So we just kind of carry those now. But if you're just doing domestic travel or you don't have a passport, I've had good luck with not having their birth certificate handy. They usually don't ask too many questions. I've never been asked about that. Of course, snacks are your number one best friend. It never fails. Lots of snacks. It keeps them busy. They make really cool snacktivity type boxes where you can like hide a goldfish in different sections, and it keeps them busy as they're eating through it. When they're babies, I like to have them drink something on takeoff and landing just to help their ears. You know, as adults, we tend to like chew gum or something to help with that, like that pressure and that fullness. So I feel like if they're like sucking or have a pacifier, or we'll take a bottle, or now for my older kids, a lot of times I'll wait and give them like a ring pop or a sucker. My oldest can have gum, but things like that help with their ears on takeoff. I do have a couple kids that get, you know, they make Benadryl. Don't recommend that, but they make Dramamine. I know I get very motion sickness, so they make kids Dramamine. So I usually do half the recommended dose just out of precaution. But I would say snacks on the flight, plenty of activities, a tablet. I know like I tend to be screen time aware, but I kind of let all rules go out the window on vacation, and it protects my sanity and for my anxiety as well too. So tablets, of course, learning games, everything has to be downloaded. I check ahead of time, make sure that when your tablet or your device is on airplane mode, that everything still functions, because that were some mistakes that we made some of the first times traveling, is like, oh my gosh, I forgot that I'm not going to have Wi-Fi, or this doesn't work on airplane mode, or this isn't downloaded, so I can't even play this. So throw it on airplane mode, make sure it's downloaded so that they're able to access certain things. So kind of give it a trial run there. Get used to plugging all those things in so you're not quite as frantic once you get in the air. Like I said, with practice, things become a little bit more secondhand. A lot of like stickers, like wall cling, window cling things are really fun for older kids. I've tried these like baby hammock seats for when Sophia was a baby. I remember traveling with her on that. It kind of like attached to the tray table. I think she liked it when she was a baby. I wouldn't say it's the most functional. It's pretty easy to travel with, but a lot of times they just sleep holding them or on us or in a carrier. I've tried like the blow up bed that goes like extends on your seat and like goes across your seat. So it's like a blow up bed. It's kind of like, it's pretty big to pack. So I didn't love that one. There's like these other types of devices too that like pop up to be like a bed, but they can just be kind of bulky. I recently got something that's like, again, kind of like a hammock. Like it's supposed to be like a leg extender for you, so you can stretch your legs out when you're sitting and, or, you know, kind of curl up and lay down flat so your legs are supported. So we're going to try that here on this next flight. this summer to Canada. So I'll let you guys know how that works. So I'm excited about trying that. Like I said, the scooter suitcases are super helpful. We've done the trunky carriers where you can carry them through the airport. There's a bunch of carriers for your car seats and things like that. But really just knowing your kid and what activities and snacks they like and are interested in. Maybe having a couple new items. They don't have to be anything expensive, but go to the dollar store, pick up some things, even just wrap them. It keeps them entertained and excited. Getting to unwrap something and discover something new. It may only last for a few minutes, but it's worth a shot, right? So you know your kid best as far as what activities you think would keep them busy and fascinated. Stickers are always a good too. Even like a roll of just painter's tape. Like my kids love just like taking tape off of a roll, trying to peel it and like tape something down, even if it's like little dinosaurs or like pieces of paper. Like honestly, like a roll of tape would keep them busy for so long. So it's like funny little things like that, things that like you probably wouldn't let them play with at home. If you bring them on the airplane, it's like just genius. Like they just love it. So that's another thing. I've seen a lot of fun, really binders lately where, people are making these little like on the go Lego board, Lego kits. They use like a pencil case and a 3-ring binder and they throw some Legos in the like zipped pencil case section and then use like command strips or Velcro or like things like that to Velcro. Like you can buy from Amazon. It's like $4. I think I have it linked on one of my Amazon pages, but, and you can put it on the binder and then use that to make an easy Lego thing. I think that's going to be really awesome. We're going to try that as well too. So anyways, these are just some helpful tips, hopefully, I guess. I'm hoping they're helpful for you. And just having that awareness that, yeah, it is going to be a little bit difficult to travel with kids, but it's difficult to do anything with kids. I often look at how upset my kids are eating breakfast in their home, in their comfy pajamas, in their environment. And it's like, you know, kids, they're kids. They have a tantrum. They're difficult to begin with. So you might as well do it while you're getting to explore the world or getting to do something fun in a different place. They're going to adjust. Kids always surprise you. They always end up doing better than you expect them to. And it's really fun to see them experience life, to see new things through their eyes, to see what they learn, to see what new games and experiences they pick up. Like we just got back from Mexico and they had nightly shows, nightly entertainment. And now my kids, their favorite game to play together, which they hardly play together too often, at least make-believe play, is like putting on these concerts and putting on these shows, and they're doing it together and they're acting out magicians and they're passing microphones to each other. And they've gotten that from travel, from our most recent trip. So it's really fun to see what they pick up and what their mind takes in and the language and the culture. Like they learned some words when we were in Mexico. So it's just fun. It makes it really fun. And they usually end up surprising you. They do better than they think, better than you think they will. But they are also kids. They're little humans and traveling is hard, even on adults. I know I took a while to adjust back with the time change, and even if it's just an hour, I feel like I was so thrown off and so tired and everything. So just having grace, extra grace with your kids and with yourself, like it is going to be a little bit more difficult, but and also in other ways, it's also going to be a lot easier because they're going to have more stimulation, more things to be entertained by, more people to interact with and things to watch and observe. So in some ways it's harder and in some ways it's easier. So if you have any other travel specific questions or any other recommendations or things I can answer, I would be happy to help you. I used to be a travel agent and I just absolutely love travel. So yeah, just send us an email or reach out to me on Instagram or anything like that. And I would be happy to answer any other travel specific questions, but hopefully just kind of hearing another mom chat about it will give you some encouragement to just give it a try. Cause honestly, if you take your kids out to eat, if you take your kids to like an in-law's house, if you take your kids anywhere to a soccer game and you can travel with them, cause it's the same thing. You're still having to do the preparation, the work, the prep, you know, they're going to be out of their environment, but they surprise you. I know I tend to be a scheduled by the book type person. And I was very particular about my kids' nap time and schedules. I would even try to plan flights around their nap times, you know, thinking, oh, I've planned this one perfectly. It flies out at noon. That's when they nap. It's going to be just genius. And no, No, they just decided that day of all the other days they didn't nap. So it's like, that's just life, right? You try to do everything right. You try to adhere by this perfect schedule and by the book, air quotes, and it's still life. And they're still their own little human being. And you still never know what's going to happen or what you're going to get. You got to expect the unexpected. So that's going to be the same for traveling as well too. So you just got to kind of, I feel like it's really helped me loosen up even in parenting. It's just to be able to be a little bit more go with the flow. I used to be very structured and really stay in my house and stay on my kids' schedule. I lived and breathed by their nap and sleep schedule. And I'm still pretty good. Like I still obviously have a good window, but I'm a lot more flexible now than rigid how I was. So, and it just is really, it's just really, I love it. So I encourage you to try it. It's going to be difficult at times and wonderful at other times, like anything else in life. So again, reach out with any questions, and you are doing a fabulous job. In case no one has told you lately, being a parent is hard in general. And you are doing an amazing job, and you are the perfect parent for your child. So you know your child best. Have a wonderful day.